Well, good morning, church. How y'all doing today? Come on, let's give God a great big hand if you're excited about Jesus today. So good to be with you. So many people here, I haven't had the opportunity to introduce myself. I'm Pastor Rick Lee, pastor here at Bridge City Church. We are one church in four locations. This is only one of the five church worship experiences that we have on Sundays. So you're seeing about 20% of the church right now. And just so excited that all over the east suburbs and one on the north side there, we all get to worship Jesus together at Bridge City Church. How many of y'all are really excited about that? Come on. You know, we're in the series Firm Foundation. And just to get started with this, I'm in a very giving mode right now. I'm just feeling generosity. I'm feeling like giving. And so I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I have two 50s and a $100 bill that I'd like to give away. Lindsay, do you like one? Come on up here.
Yeah!
What do you want, 50 or 100? You would like 100. You're going to need that for lunch.
Yeah!
Right? Very good. Very, very good. Hey, Tyler, do you want one? Oh, you want 50? That's all I got left.
You want both. Just one. Okay, anybody else want a 50 here? Pastor John, do you want a 50? Very good. Give him a big hand. They received. I mean, there you go. Now, how many of y'all, I mean, like when you received that, how many of y'all, like, yeah? That made you feel good? How many of y'all thought what you're going to do with it? Not yet. What's that? You know, what you going to do? Towards the car, okay? You're going to give it to Pastor Rick.
$50 worth of scratchers down in Sedona.
If you didn't hear that, that's good. Hallelujah. Come on. Now, when you receive something like that, it just feels pretty good. And you think, wow, this is what I'm going to do with it. Now, just to let you all know, just there, what I just gave them was counterfeit. I knew it. Whenever it's too good to be true, it's too good to be true. There you go. Now, what happens a lot of times in our life, we receive something, even at church. We receive something maybe even on a YouTube video or somebody teaches us something, or we have an idea which feels like it's going to make us prosperous. It feels good in the moment. Okay, and we think this is what I'm going to do with it, only to find out that it's counterfeit. We do this a lot in the body of Christ with teaching. In the body of Christ, there's so many teachings out there, and there's so many counterfeits that are going on, that people are receiving them, thinking that it has value, only to find out it has no value and can't be used. This is what was happening in the church at Colossae in Colossians chapter 2. There was a counterfeit teaching going on in Colossians here that was drawing them away from God. Now, how do you know that a bill is real? Now, how do you know a $100 bill? Now, I know many of you young people, you probably don't spend cash. But when you do spend cash, how many of you out there? Still in the cash. Here we go. I see those hands. Come on. If you give somebody a 50 or a 100, what's the first thing they do to get this pen out, right? And they mark it. Because they're looking for a chemical reaction. Does it pass being marked accordingly? Or else they hold it up to the light, right? They hold it up to the light because they're looking for a pattern or under an ultraviolet light to see the glow on the bill itself. Or the way it used to be back in the day, the way they taught people how to know the counterfeit from the real is they would give them real 100s and real 50s and all those, and they would have them without looking, just count them, feel them all day long, because as soon as they got a counterfeit, they literally could just feel the texture difference. In the body of Christ, in the Big C Church across our globe right now, there's a lot of counterfeiting going on. Because we're not looking for the marks that are clearly, is this biblical? We're not holding it up to the light. Okay? And we're not allowing ourselves to really feel it and say, wait a minute, what's this going to do? Is this really worth anything? You see, in the church at Colossae, in chapter 2 here, the Apostle Paul, and this is what we've been, he writes here, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus Lord, so walk in him, rooted in him, and established. Everybody say established. Yes. Established means be firm, stand firm in the faith. And we want to help you be firm in the faith. And so that's why we've been taking all these weeks and unwrapping the book of Colossians, almost verse by verse. We're looking at these things to help you understand the counterfeit from the real. Because the Apostle Paul knew that the best way to know the fake is you got to know the real thing. Because when you know the real thing, okay, then you can spot the fake. But if you get fixated on the fake and the counterfeit, all you're going to do is be fixated on that. And we want to help you learn this and become mature in your faith here. That's what we're doing here. So here's the big idea. Here's the big idea. Maturity in our faith happens. Maturity in our faith happens. And remember, maturity is not getting older. You know what getting older is? Getting older. Maturity is different than getting older. Maturity is when you're able to take responsibility for somebody else. Not only yourself, but for somebody else. That's a mark of maturity. So maturity happens as we stay alert. Everybody say stay alert.
Stay alert.
Stand firm.
Stand firm.
Submit to the process. So we're going to look at these three things in Colossians chapter 2 right now. Now, just to refresh you, the church at Colossae, this was a letter written by the Apostle Paul to the church at Colossae here. It was a relatively small place. It was the smallest church, the smallest town that the Apostle Paul wrote to here. Okay? And what they were experiencing was, they were experiencing false doctrine. They were experiencing Gnosticism, which is a fancy word, which they were saying that they had elite knowledge. We have superior knowledge. Okay? Now let me just give you this. You can tell somebody is Gnostic because you have to go to them for the knowledge. You have to always go to them because they're the wise ones and you're not so wise. That's Gnosticism. You need me. And if you don't have me, you're not going to be able to understand. True apostolic authority that comes from the Bible, from Jesus, to his apostolic authority and elders and pastors that are all under submission, is not you need me. It's that you're being equipped to be able to live not interdependently, not independent, but interdependent. Under submission and authority, we together can walk out maturity. See, I'm trying to help you because in the reason the Apostle Paul is writing this, they were mixing a little bit of Judaism, a little bit of Christianity, a little bit of mysticism, and they were like mixing it all together and coming up with conclusions. See, the enemy of your soul, if he knows he can't get you to look away from God, if he can just get you to look slightly away, it's okay. Well, I'm not going the other direction. Me and Jesus are still okay. No, it even takes a little look away, and it's too much of a look away. No, see, you got to catch this. Because in our culture, in our society, it's just whatever you believe is okay, as long as it works for you. As long as it works for you, it's good. No, not all roads lead to heaven. Not all roads lead to heaven. And when we at Bridge City Church love you enough to tell you that, we love you enough to tell you that not all roads go there. And it's not okay just to look even slightly away. If you think it's okay to even look slightly away, men, this afternoon, when you're at lunch or you're at the store, just start slightly looking at other women. All of a sudden, it made sense right there. It's like, gotcha. Am I right? Well, I'm not looking all the way. No, it doesn't work. You can't be single-minded in your focus and be able to stand firm. That's the goal of what God has for us. So how can we stand firm? How can we do this? Number one, we need to stay alert. Let's look at verse 8. The Apostle Paul here, Colossians 2. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this rather than from Christ. Now this word capture here is to make you a victim of fraud. It carries you away like a predator. Now if I would have been serious and saying, hey, here's some money that you have, that would have been considered fraud. I offered you something that's a lie. I offered you something that's not true. That's fraud. And the Apostle Paul is saying that in this world, there are people that are capturing you, carrying you away like fraud, like a predator here. Now, how many of you have ever received an email to go out and buy gift cards and then send the numbers of all the gift cards into somebody? Anybody here? Has anybody ever been enticed or somebody said, if you just give me your social security number, if you give me your bank account number? Do you know that 22% of Americans will have been the object of identity theft at some point in their lives? 23.9 million people in the last 12 months have been the victim of identity theft. The number one thing that the enemy wants to do against you and us in the body of Christ, it's called identity theft. It's to steal your God-given identity. It's to steal who you are in Christ. It's to downgrade you. It's to push you down from who God created you to be. Identity theft is one of the devil's biggest ways to get to us. Get us to slightly look away and capture us by a philosophy of the world. This word philosophy, let's look at what it means. It's loving one's own thoughts, your secular wisdom, at the expense of God's word, true wisdom. Now, I know that nobody here has ever experienced this. But at some point, you may have a friend. Now, think about this. We all do it because when we encounter the word of God, and the word of God conflicts with what I think in my natural mindset, we have to make a choice. Is this God's word in what he communicates, or am I going to trust my secular thinking? Is this making sense to you today? We all get it at one point or another. And the enemy is trying to deceive us and get us to live in fear so that we'll fall for being taken captive with deception and accusations. Let me try to explain it this way. What do you really believe about divorce? What do you believe about purity? What do you believe about giving, like financially? What do you believe about forgiving? What do you believe about church? These are challenges we have to think, am I going to trust my secular thinking, which makes sense to me, or am I going to trust God's word? Does anybody sense there's a war going on? And it's a war for our minds. It's a war for, do we really believe what we say we believe? And that's the challenge here. And that's what they were going through in this book of Colossians here. And so we have to stand up against these things. How do you know if you're encountering the real gospel by which you stand? Well, let me just put it to you this way. Is it easier now to submit to God than the day you met him, or is it more difficult? The longer we mature in our faith, the more simplistic it is to submit to him. At least that's the way it should be. But unfortunately, we flip that. Sometimes the longer that we're Christians, the longer that we follow God, the more difficult it is to keep submitting. Because after all, been there, done that. Rather than, no, what am I doing? So how do you know if you're in a living, breathing, mature relationship with Jesus Christ? Let me try to illustrate it this way. How do you know if you have a marriage that's pleasing God? I get this question, how do I know if my marriage is pleasing God? I'm going to give it to you right here. Are you ready? Okay, then I'm going to link it to being connected to God. You are irritated and inconvenienced. But you're becoming more like Jesus, and it's a great joy. Is that a good illustration? Yeah, no, see, it's the same. People ask me all the time, well, how do I know if my marriage is getting better? Well, it's just real simple. Are you irritated, inconvenienced? Well, yeah. But is it a great joy? When it becomes a joy, because you see the purpose of it, and you see this is God's designed institution to help you become more like Jesus. It's just like the church. We're called family for a reason. Nobody can irritate you like family can. Do you have one? I feel bad for people that grew up as an only child. You don't know the joys of irritation. But in church, and when you encounter the gospel, it irritates your flesh. It challenges your identity, but it's the very thing that God gives us to become more like Jesus, and we can do it with great joy because it's doing something for God. It's not me about becoming a better me. It's me becoming a new me. You don't want just a better edition of what I was. No. You want the new creation I'm becoming. Come on, somebody. See, how do you know if you're maturing? You got to stay alert because there's things that are coming against you, counterfeit, that are robbing you of who you are. They're stealing from you. That's what they're doing. This is what God designed us and created us for. In Colossians 2, 9 and 10, for in Christ lives all the fullness of God in the human body. So you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. Christ is the head over every ruler and authority. Wow. Yeah, complete. Now, how many of you have ever used this statement or heard somebody use it? You'll say, how are you doing? And somebody says, my life is full. Is anybody here? Nobody here says that. Okay. Well, there goes that illustration. Okay. No, but there's a lot of people say, it's like, my life is full. I have a full life. And what they're really saying is, in this moment in time, I'm satisfied. But this word full means complete here. It's full. It means like you have a full gas tank on your car. You have a full charge. You've leveled up. You are completely satisfied, in need of nothing to go the distance. Union means firm. It means a fixed position. In Christ, we have a fixed position, and we need to stay alert to make sure that that fixed position stays correctly there. That is so, so vitally important here. So, as we go on, let's look at what it means to stand firm. Verse 11, when you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not by a physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, cutting away your sinful nature. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life because you trusted in the mighty power of God who raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now with these verses here, just like the counterfeit bill, when they mark it, when you hear something that people say, state to you, or preachers, or trust me, many of you would be much, much, much better off in your spiritual walk if you would stop watching preachers on YouTube. Okay, I'll jump off of that. Okay. But what I'm saying is there's so many vain thoughts and philosophies out there. Because if you look hard enough, you'll find somebody tell you what you want to hear. How many of you ever tried that? Yeah, you just keep going one person to the next person to the next person to the next person until you find somebody that agrees with you, then you're like, I'm good. Right? We all do it. Whether you're doing it consciously or subconsciously. But there's marks of true gospel, and Paul gives them to us here. Let's look at the marks of what it means of Christianity here. The first one is circumcised of heart here. It's a mark. So like, if you have something you're trying to believe, is it cutting away my flesh, my natural tendencies, what I want? That's what the Bible represents as flesh. It's your natural, secular thought processes and actions. Is it separating you from there? Or is it saying you're good the way you are? I was joking, of course, this morning in the cafe. It says, come as you are. There's a little sign that says, come as you are. I said, that's only half true. I said, you can come here the way you are, but you are going to go home differently. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can come as you are, but you're going to leave differently. Didn't we come here today to leave differently? Come on, am I right? I don't want to be better me. I want my flesh. I want my natural tendencies to be under submission. Baptized means you have an identity with Christ. That's what baptism is. It's an identity. You identify as a follower of Christ Jesus. That's who I follow. That's my allegiance. That's the one in charge. That's the Lord of my life. And then raised to new life. Is the gospel that you're believing, is it raising you to new life? Is it setting you free? Is it causing you to be less like the old person and more like the new? No, that's the gospel. And then are you forgiven? I'm going to live the rest of my life as a thank you to God. I'm not doing what I do trying to earn his love and earn his respect and earn his favor. I already have his favor. So I'm going to live as a thank you unto him. Every day is a thank you. Every day I get to live my life as a big old thank you card to God. Because he forgave me once and for all. And then the mighty power. There's an energy that works within us. And that's that Greek word, energia, where we get the word energy. And there's an energy that's working inside of me and inside of you. This is the gospel. So when you hear something, is it telling you, you don't have to do this, you don't have to do that? And I'm going to get to some of these nuances in just a bit. But at face value, no, I get to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And there's philosophies and there's this power that the enemy is using in our world right now that's teaching us these things. Okay, let's go to verse 14. This is going to be a good one. If you've never taken a picture of a slide up front, you're going to want this one. Okay, get your cameras ready. Don't take a picture of me. Verse 14. He, being Jesus, canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities, and he shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. Wow! Man, when we were singing that song this morning, we plead the blood. Yeah! Yeah, see, that's what makes me clean. That's what makes me pure. Because there's all these accusations coming against us. So let's look at some of these words. It's going to take me about 2.5-3 hours to get through this. But I'm going to boil it down for you. There was a record, and I don't know if you knew this or not. Before you came to Jesus, you had a record. Every person in here, before you came to Jesus, you had a record. Now, some of you had two. You had one on earth and one in heaven, but that's a different story. You had a record. There was a debt or an obligation written by your name. There was an accusation. You're no good. You're worthless. You're rejected. You're damaged goods. You've been abused. You have pride. You have arrogance. You'll never get ahead. You'll never have life easy. There were records and charges against us that we owed, and it was called sin. We were in bitterness and backstabbing, and we were deceitful ourselves, and we lied, and some committed adultery and fornication, and all these things were literally written against us. You got to get this. And we had an obligation to pay it on our own. But Jesus, because of what he did, he took it away and he canceled the obligation for you. No, I don't think you get it. Like, he wiped it out completely. He obliterated it. Literally, this word means to like whitewash over it so it can't be seen, or to overlay gold over top of it. Isn't it crazy? We owed a debt. We were in sin, and we were deceitful, and we were arrogant, and we were trusting ourselves, and God puts gold on top of it and seals it with something precious. That, my friends, is the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why we're so excited. Come on. We had a record against us, and he canceled it. Man, if that doesn't make you raise your hands during worship, I don't know what will. I don't know what you know. I owed a debt I could never pay on my own. And Jesus stepped in and paid. He wiped it clean. Completely away. Not only that, it gets better. He disarmed the enemy. Now, I'm not a policeman, but I've watched enough police shows. What's the first thing they say? Drop your. That's right. If you have a knife, drop the knife. If you have a ball bat, drop the ball bat. If you have a gun, drop the gun. Am I right? And then get down on the... Some of you knew that too quick. Come on. Get into a vulnerable position. Get down and surrender. So Jesus Christ, he literally, the obligation in the debt that was written, the charges that were written against you, he obliterated them, but he took it one step further and he disarmed the enemy. Drop the weapon. The biggest weapon the enemy has against us is deceit, accusations, lies, and fear. So whenever we're falling into deceit, accusations, lies, and fear, we need to remind the enemy that Jesus has already disarmed him. No, you can't do that to me. No. Many people in this room, you would love to go on a short-term mission trip. And I want to let you know, we want to send you. But you have already bought into the lie. You're not good enough. You don't have enough money. You don't have time off work. You know, you're not sure what will happen. You want to control everything in the process. When God is telling you to go and you'll experience his goodness, but the accusations in your mind are telling you you can't before you ever accomplish. I'm trying to free you. And he disarmed. Drop the weapon. Then he has a public parade. That's what this word really means. When a king in biblical times would go into a new territory and seize it and take control of it and capture it, literally the king that he conquered and all the top officials would go in a parade, and they would mock them in a parade. They looked at it. It was a celebration parade. In some places in the Old Testament, it was really cool. They didn't even bring the whole person. They just brought their heads. Now that's a Sunday school message you don't want to miss. Okay? But what I'm trying to say is that's what Jesus did. He did it publicly. So people come to me and they say, well, Pastor Rick, do I have to acknowledge Jesus publicly? Well, I don't know. He died for you publicly. Why don't you go public? I just canceled. It's really simple. See, it's really, I didn't say it's easy, but it's real simple. See, so he did all this. He disarmed and he paraded the enemy in front of deceit and fear and accusations. And this is what God wants us to get. The victory of the cross. Many people in here, you listen, you have bought into, you're messed up, you're dirty, you're no good. Again, you're damaged goods. You were an unwanted pregnancy. No, you weren't an unwanted pregnancy. You were unplanned, but you're wanted from God. Many people have bought into, my life has no meaning. I don't have a father. I don't have a mother. God is restoring you because that's an accusation that you don't have a family. You're not good enough. You will never. You can't. You won't. And I want to tell you today that Jesus Christ, because of the victory of the cross, has solved all that. Come on, somebody. This is what it means here. He wiped it out. He did all these things, and I'm going to tell you, some of us in this room, we have a better memory than God does. We remember things he forgets, and we forget things he remembers. Psalm 103. Some of you, this is for you today, right now. This is why you came here today. This is why you're with us today. I'm telling you right now, he has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. Oh, you need this. Because no matter how far east you go, do you know what? You're always heading east. No matter how far west you go, you're always heading west. The problem is there's people that in the room, there's people that can hear me right now. You're going north and south in your life. And God's about to change your north and south and give you an east and west. I'm speaking to you right now. See, many people in this room right now, you start heading north. I'm going towards God. I'm going towards God. But the problem, as soon as you get up over top where Santa Claus lives, what happens? You start going south. And many people in this room right now, you are caught in a trap of north and south. You're trapped in, I'm going good, then I'm not doing good. I'm doing good, not doing good. Doing good, I'm not doing good. And God is about to change your direction today. God is speaking to you right now that instead of going north and south, how about we go east and west? Because God removes your sin from you east and west. They never touch. They just keep going in that direction. And we're trying to earn things. We're trying to do things. We're trying to prove to God how great we are. And you can't prove to God how great you are because Jesus already did that. See, that's what they were falling into false philosophies and false thinking and human tendencies, exchanging this truth for just what feels right. And many people in our day and age, they're doing this thing called deconstructing their faith. I'm deconstructing my faith. I hear it a lot. I hear it almost everywhere I go. I was once a follower of Christ, but I'm deconstructing. The purpose of deconstructing is so that we can construct the proper thing. I'm constantly tearing down my false ideas so I can build the positive, correct thing. As you pulled into the church today, there was this spot where there was gravel. Okay? That we didn't just say, you know what, today's a good day to put gravel here. We had to deconstruct an area of the parking, of the driveway, is so that they could redo a water line underneath. But when the hole was there, we didn't just deconstruct it and say, well, yep, there's a hole. Yep, there is. No, you fill it back in, and then when it's time, you reconstruct what's there, and then as soon as it gets warm enough, you put some asphalt or pavement or concrete on top, and you make it good. See, you deconstruct to repair something so that you can construct the proper thing. So if you're not constructing, all you are is destructing. There's a big difference. I'm trying to help you. And we deconstruct so that we can build the proper thing. The right mindsets about Christ here. That's it. You see, Jesus, suffering, shed blood, sacrificial death, and resurrection are the only adequate and available grounds for these things. Ransom from sin, reconciliation to God, redemption from slavery, and restoration. It is his shed blood. It is the victory of the cross. It's why we get up in the morning. It has given me a purpose in my life. And the reason we're struggling is because we have no purpose. And my purpose is now to please the one who saved me. Come on, somebody. I just want to please him. So whatever he says goes. It doesn't matter what I think at the end of the day. It doesn't matter what I think. It matters how I honor God, because that's where the joy. And we're missing out on joy. We're missing out on laughter. We're missing out on the good stuff because we're getting all wrapped up in our minds. Is anybody with me this morning? Now listen, I want to let you in on something. You got to catch this. You got, like, listen, this is good. You might want to write this down. This is really good. We have 35 days to Easter Sunday. Now, I don't see anybody writing that down. Easter Sunday. 35 days. Easter Sunday is all about the victory of the cross. Easter Sunday is all about recognizing the shed blood of Jesus Christ. For those in the Christian faith, it's a pretty big deal. And so, I'm inviting you, and Pastor John's inviting you, to invite everybody you know that needs this message of reconciliation and redemption, and that you've been ransomed, and you don't have to live the same way, and you can know that you know that you know, because these things were written, that you know that you have eternal life. And so I believe that God is going to do something really miraculous this Easter with your friends, with your family, with people that you know. And over these next weeks, every single week, there's going to be something mentioned that you can do, because we only got 35 days. Do you feel the urgency? Only 35 days. Only 35 days. Do you feel it? I'm not trying to make you nervous, but I'm trying you to feel the urgency. We only got 35. I don't know if you know this or not. We only do Easter Sunday once a year. Well, we're going to have Easter every Sunday. I know we say that, but we don't say Happy Easter every Sunday. Oh, we remember the cross. We do communion. We remember all that, right? But we're inviting you for this adventure here, to stand firm in what Jesus Christ has done, and realize that what he has done, we're paid in full. Paid in full. Because of what Jesus Christ has done, I'm paid in full. I don't have to earn it. In Colossae, they were trying to earn it. They were trying to say, oh, well, look at us. We do it this way. We're elite. We're special. No, there's no special knowledge. Except for we get to get on our knees. So the last thing I want to share with you is just about submitting to the process. Now I'm just going to read one verse. It's in 19. Colossians 2:19, submitting to the process. Colossians 2:19. It's talking about being connected to Christ, the head of the body. For he holds the whole body together with its joints and ligaments, and it grows as God nourishes it. You've died with Christ, and now we live with him. I just want to focus, what do we mean by submit to the process? If we want to stay mature in our faith, we realize that Jesus' church has been designed and created to help us mature in our faith. I covered that already. True apostolic authority will irritate you and bring you and cause you to have greater faith. That's why we invite you to serve. That's why we invite you to come in just a few moments, where you're going to come out on all the ladies on Tuesday night. My wife Natalie has a word in her heart about being a daughter of the house and what that means. Ladies, you don't want to miss it. And Pastor John's going to share on Wednesday with all the men No groups are meeting this week. We're all going to get together. We're going to hear one message about being a son and a daughter of the house, because it's what God created to help you walk in true freedom, to walk in spiritual freedom. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. It's forfeiting, giving up all the mindsets and all these things. So when we submit to the process, that means I now become a part of the joint and the ligaments that nourish and hold it all together. That brings me to maturity in my faith. I now can mature. I can now become mature in my faith as I stay alert to false philosophies, stand firm in what Jesus Christ has done, and submit to the process of growth, being healthy, growing, full of love. This is God's design for your life. Did you hear anything that's helpful to you today? Did you hear something helpful in your heart today? Would you stand just for a moment? I'm about to now enter the most important 4 or 5 minutes of the whole entire week. So I want you to stay still. I want you to stay where you are. I don't want anybody moving around. This is the most important thing right here. I don't know where you are with Jesus today, but I want to offer you a relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ. I don't want to offer you a religion. Religion will wear you out. A relationship with God breathes life into you. It feeds you. It gives you life. There's people in this room that you believe in God. You believe there is a God, but you don't believe in Him as the only way to the Father. Jesus has become just another way rather than the only way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody gets to the Father except through me. And if you would like a new life with Jesus Christ, I'm offering you an opportunity to ask Jesus to forgive you. It wasn't the sins of the world that put Him on the cross. It was your sin. Your sin put Him on the cross. It was the charges of your life that He bore on that cross. All the sins, all the messed up thinking, it was you. And I'm going to offer you an opportunity to say, thank you, Jesus. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin. That's the good news. And then, Jesus, I now want you to be the leader of my life. I just want to believe in me. I want to believe in you. I want you to be in charge of my whole entire life from here on out. I want to be a follower. So, Heavenly Father, I pray over every person here today, Lord, that wants to surrender to Jesus Christ. They want to surrender their lives to Jesus. And they want to give their hearts to you, God. I pray for them right now in this moment, Lord. God, that they would find you in a very real and practical and victorious way. Lord God, let the victory of the cross be revealed to them in a special way today. And so if you're here today and you would like today, March 16th, to be your day, that you make Jesus Christ, you surrender your life to Him, you say, Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I want to be a follower once and for all. And you've never did that before. You did that. It became a long time ago, but today's your day to rehab. I want you to bold, joyful, and your heart pounding, your palms sweaty, but so much joy. I just want you right now, just raise your hand right where you're at. Say, God, I'm here. Pastor, I'm here. Come on, thank you. Who else wants in on this deal? Come on. Come on, anybody else want in this deal? Just say, Pastor, here I am. Here I am. God, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Who else? Who else? Anybody else here today? Thank you. Very good. Very good. Very good. Just keep your hand up. He publicly did it. We publicly do it. It's a private thing, but it's personal. It's personal. Come on, so leave your hand up. Anybody else? Anybody else today? Just keep your hand up, and right now I want all of us to pray this prayer, because I want to help you so you know how to lead your friends to Jesus right now. Let's pray this prayer together. Say, Father God, I have sinned. I've fallen short. Forgive me by the blood of Jesus. I ask you, Jesus, to be in charge of my life. I surrender to you today until I meet you in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's give God a great big hand. Wow. Hey, if you raise your hand, somebody's probably going to come up beside you and they're going to say, hey, can I pray for you? Because this is why. We want to treat you and value you as a person, not just a number. We want to value you as a person. And so somebody's going to come beside you and say, hey, can I pray for you? Let's go pray together. And they're just going to, again, honor you and value the person. Isn't that good? Hey, could you just be seated? We're almost ready to wrap up here today. I'm just so thankful to be here. Pastor John, as always, thank you so much for always doing such a great job here at North Braddock and pastoring you and Christine and the whole leadership team here. So, so, so awesome. Thank you. I get the opportunity just to introduce to you a video that you're going to watch. You know, a sign of a healthy church is kids ministry. You look at the kids ministry, there's health. And then student ministry, 6th through 12th grade. That's what we call Bridge City students. And we're getting better at every ministry. Come on. How many of y'all know we can get better? We're getting better every day. And so one of the ways that we're helping 6th through 12th grade learn more about Jesus and have a divine moment with God is a great opportunity coming up. And so we want to let all of you know what's going on at the Encounter Conference coming up. Hey, let's take a look.